Our reading from God's holy word tonight comes from the letter of 1 John, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 1. This will also serve as the basis for this evening's homily. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. We hear once again the final portion of our reading for tonight from 1 John chapter 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? A few years back, a gentleman came up to talk to me after church one day, and he was very sad and very upset. He was probably in his late 50s and was the son of a pastor, and told me that his sister had just contacted him in the past week or so and announced to him that even though she had been a Bible-believing Christian her whole life, and she was now in her early 50s, that she was giving up the Christian faith, had even raised her children in it. And she said, I can't follow this anymore. In this day and age that we live in, I just cannot follow what the Bible says anymore. And he asked her more and more about it. A lot of it had to do with moral issues. And apparently at work, at the workplace, she was getting badgered by so many people about her faith. And she finally just couldn't take it and just decided to quit. And to just quit this whole Christian religion in her life. And obviously this saddened her brother deeply, who to this day is still a very devout follower of Christ. In this world, we as followers of our Lord Jesus are walking kind of in a different direction than the world is. Kind of like somebody on a crowded New York street walking one way and there's a crowd surging against us. And how we think and how we look at things, what motivates us, how we look at life, how we understand things based upon the teachings of our Savior, so much of that puts us at odds with this world that we live in. Jesus said this to his disciples, to his followers, "You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you, because of the word I have given to you." So it's the word of God that we cling to and love and cherish that's ultimately, through faith in Christ, going to take us to heaven. It's that word of God that puts us at odds with this world that we live in and with the attitudes of the world. And there are times even when that false thinking creeps into the church and starts to not only cause believers to fall away, sometimes, sad to say, even the leaders of the church. And sometimes this difference that we sense with the world can be overwhelming, and that's often the case when we are young. And by its unbelief and aggressive activity against God's church and making fun of and ridiculing our faith and promoting a moral decline that's all around us, sometimes that badgering and that ridicule that we feel as Christians can make it really, really hard to hold on to the word of our Savior. And we can feel like a shrinking minority in the middle of all of this. This opposition that Jesus talks about and that is found throughout the scriptures, this opposition against his church of believers is a very real thing. It's not just some made-up thing. And there are times when it can grow to even physical hostility. And there are spots around the world where that is happening even today, sad to say. And when that happens, it makes it easy for us to see that conflict and that danger. But is it possible that for some, even in a culture like ours that seems to still permit Christianity to be present without physical abuse, sometimes the psychological and philosophical subtle ways that we are persecuted can also bring a danger to us, as we see with that young lady announcing to her brother? Because our faith is connected to Christ, our text reminds us that we have triumphed over the wickedness of this world and all that this world would rage against Christ and his church. Listen again. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. The faith that's in your heart right now comes only from God. The Bible makes it very clear it's not something we can produce in any way. Martin Luther said, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." The very faith that's in your heart right now as one who loves Christ and believes in him, that is a birth that has taken place because of God's activity. And John says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And then he says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Notice how closely God associates the faith he has created in your heart with the power and the supremacy of Christ over all things, who says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Faith is itself tied to the very victory that God, through his Son, has managed to create over all things in the world. Now, it's not because our faith is so great. I know mine goes up and down all the time. But it's because of the object of our faith that God, by his grace, has worked in our hearts a clinging to Christ, a clinging to the Son of God, his own Son, who has come into this world to pay for our sins and to save us and rescue us from our graves. A theologian by the name of David Skayer writes this: "Faith never creates reality. Faith merely grasps this greater reality. Christ has created the reality of the resurrection of our bodies from the grave and the wonderful entrance we will have to go into heaven someday. That is a reality already established by the work of God's Son. Faith doesn't create that. Faith simply grabs that by the work of God in our hearts." You know, theologians often try to kind of categorize different things, and faith is one of those. And there are different aspects to faith. We sometimes talk about the knowledge part of faith. And there is also what we call the assent. That means to acknowledge and agree with the Word of God, and especially what it says regarding Christ as the Son of God, as our Savior. But the most essential aspect or characteristic of faith is trust. It's confidence. It's when our hearts lean on Christ alone for the wonderful hope of heaven, that all our sins are forgiven and that he has paid our entrance fee into the mansions of heaven. Now, John reminds us here that the same wonderful faith that God creates in us, connecting us to the vine of Christ, also demonstrates itself with the love that we have for God and his commandments. His commandments in this way, then, to the new man in us that has been created in our hearts, is not burdensome. These are joyful things that come out of us, just like grapes growing on a vine from a branch that is alive, connected to Christ. There is a natural outgrowth of this wonderful faith God creates in us to love our Savior, who alone paid our entrance to heaven. There's a natural outgrowth of that in the lives of believers in the world. And wherever God has created this faith in a person's heart to hold on to Christ, that is where you will find the ultimate victory over all that the world may throw at us. No matter how nasty it can get, no matter how harsh it can get, no matter how much it tries to ridicule us, our faith, because it's connected to Christ, has won the victory over all of that. We are, by faith, holding on to the only one who has the keys to death and hell. Stay with him. Amen. Please rise for the singing of the versicles.
with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity. Let us bless the Lord. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.